Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tefera Jemian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome.
This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it. Our mandate is simple, to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great.
Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food.
Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area.
It's that time of year again, folks, where 16 foods go head-to-head in intense matchups week after week to determine which food deserves to win the title of Food of the Year. In addition to the crown, the winner gets bragging rights and a bunch of extra content dedicated to it for the rest of our 2024 season. This is Munch Madness.
Now, let's get down to business to defeat the food. First up, we have our host's choice division where Tom's pick, charcuterie, goes up against my pick, chocolate. The lavish treat that wins will go up against ice cream in the quarterfinals. Ooh. Can't believe we're always already coming up on the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that there's only like 16 to begin with. Like the second round is the quarters.
Well, that's fair. Okay. Yeah. Our second matchup is our champions division, where last year's champ bread will fight to defend the crown against last year's semifinalist hot sauce.
I think you said defund the crown.
Listen,
all monarchies
are bastards. I stand by it. Will we see a spicy upset in this round, or will the champ continue its winning streak? There's only one way to find out. Let's throw it to our first guest judge.
So our first guest judge on this week's episode of No Bad Foods Munch Madness Tournament Bracket is Zach Ingles. If you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you will recognize his name and also his voice as the one that you hear first and also last on every episode. He is the one, the only singer-songwriter whose music we play on our show as our theme music. He is lovely, he is wonderful, and he is here today to help us choose our winners. Zach, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really, really well, and what a introduction to be the bookends of such a great show.
I realize it's not entirely true because we do play ads at the end of the show, so actually you're not the last voice we hear, but you're the last voice we hear consistently because we switch up the ads, you know.
There you go. I don't take it personally.
Yeah. you are still the heart and soul, the pulse that beats through the podcast. You just had a new single, like, explode also. Congrats on that.
Yeah, it was really surprising, but like a really a pleasant surprise, that's for sure. I released a new song and was actually sick during the release and feeling pretty down about how much promotion I had done, and then all of a sudden I started getting calls from CBC, and it's been all over the place.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. I can't wait to see where it takes you from here. You deserve it.
Thank you.
So yeah, let's get straight into it. You're here today for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make the most important two decisions of your life. I know you have a child, but this is it, man. This is the most important thing you've ever done. Are you ready?
I am 100% ready, and I'm excited to know what these decisions might be.
Perfect. All right. So first up, we have our host, choice division. We've got a matchup between one of my picks and one of Teffer's picks, which means one of us will be sad today based on how you vote, but don't feel too much pressure about that. We have charcuterie versus chocolate.
So to me, it's absolutely no contest. Charcuterie wins every time.
Okay.
I'm sorry to whoever chose chocolate, but they chose wrong. because charcuterie, like, there's so much variety that you can put in. Like, are you a sharp cheese and a spicy meat kind of person, or do you like, you know, to have olives and dried fruits, and not to mention just the wonderful assortment of spreads that you can put with it. Chocolate's kind of a one-stop shop. I consider myself kind of a chocolate purist. So anybody that tries to make chocolate cooler by putting things in it loses points in my books. But charcuterie to me is just this wonderful artistic canvas of culinary delight.
I like that. Yeah, and I mean, like, look, I'm not gonna lie, charcuterie is mine, so I'm with you on this.
I figured.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know about how much you like, you know, cured meats and things.
Yeah, well, and the thing with a charcuterie board is, like, it's like you said, you can put so much variety into it, right? So, like, what's stopping you from having a little bit of chocolate on there as an option for people as they kind of migrate through it, right?
100%. Like, a nice piece of dark chocolate, like, you know, as a palate cleanser, or, you know, just to give you that little bit of sweetness, you know, can be a really beautiful thing when it's well placed on a charcuterie board.
Totally. What is your peak deli meat for a charcuterie board? Like, if you're making a board, what has to be on there for you?
Usually, like, I'm a pretty, like, traditionalist when it comes to meat. So, like, I'd be like a nice salami, usually a peppered salami or something like that, just to have a little bit of pizzazz, as it were. And then of course the quintessential charcuterie board meat, which is prosciutto.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like I'm with you on that. I think those are the two that, like, at a base, every board needs to have: prosciutto, or, like, something, like, along the lines of prosciutto, like, if it's speck or Serrano or something, whatever. But, like, a thin sliced kind of meaty meat, you know, and then, like, one sort of salami kind of thing, whether it's spicy or not. Like, you need a round guy and a long guy.
That's it. And it allows you, like, because nobody just wants to eat salami straight up over and over again, right? You kind of need that variety a little bit in your cured meats.
Yeah, exactly. It's like in everything else, right? It's like Seinfeld or Sesame Street or, like, Monsters, Inc. There always has to be one kind of longer thing and one kind of shorter, rounder thing.
Definitely going to theme all of my charcuterie boards after my favorite television shows.
Absolutely.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. That's it. Seinfeld's the prosciutto, Costanza's the salami, and then you got to have the wild card in there as the Kramer. Maybe that's where the chocolate can come in for our charcuterie board, right? You just slam a little bit on there at the end, and you're like, eat it!
That's it. I mean, that's a pretty tame wild card. I think we could get it more extreme, but, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I've definitely, like, thrown some weird shit on a board and been like, look, guys, it's fine. This is what we're here for, you know, the variety.
It's at 50% off at the grocery store, and we're gonna try it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, amazing. Well, hey, I'm not mad about this. Let's let's go. We'll see how the other guests vote later. So the winner of that matchup, because we still have one other guest, right? So they'll vote, and then if they're also voting charcuterie, it's unanimous. If not, we'll throw it to social media. But the winner of that one will go up against ice cream. So I'm curious, what do you think, charcuterie or ice cream? Which one do you think wins that bracket?
As someone who is has a dairy intolerance, I have to go with charcuterie because I cannot eat ice cream.
Sure.
And any dairy-free ice cream that is out there is awful. I've never met one that I liked. I would stick with my original decision. Charcuterie, there's just so much variety that it's really hard to be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's kind of... So both of those were my picks for this bracket. And, like, for me, ice cream, it's because it's fun. It's because everybody likes ice cream. It felt like a safe bet. And charcuterie for me is the one where it's like, okay, like, if we get into the nitty gritty, people are always going to vote for the thing with the most variety. So I'm kind of playing strategic this year, you know?
Well, that's it. And I mean, like, technically you could put some ice cream as part of a charcuterie board.
It'd
be kind of interesting to experience, right? I remember when I was traveling many years ago and had the experience of trying, like, savory ice creams and, like, having, like, mushroom flavored ice creams, and I had a curry flavored ice cream, and it's, or if, I mean, you can, there's plenty of wonderful ice cream shops, you know, around your area as well that do things like black sesame.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, it could work.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Are you ready for the second matchup?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. This is a big one. This is our title match. Last year's champion, who is also the previous year's champion, our first ever repeat champion here on Munch Madness, the one, the only Bread, comes in as obviously our first seed in the champions bracket, up against fourth seed Hot Sauce, who lost out to Pasta in the semifinals last year. Who's your pick here, Bread or Hot Sauce?
I hate to be, like, part of the the bandwagon, but I have to go with Bread.
Sure.
I love Hot Sauce. I think Hot Sauce is wonderful. Hot Sauce with Bread, even better.
Sure.
But ultimately, Hot Sauce on its own is no contest against a wonderful bread of any variety, right? There's so much variety, but also it's more of a filling thing, right? Hot sauce is more of a accoutrement, as it were, rather than a you know, a food that I want to sit down. Like, I can easily just sit down and eat a nice loaf of bread in an entire sitting, and I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Sure. You shouldn't be ashamed.
Bottle of hot sauce, not so much.
yeah, I get that. You know, because I'm with you on this one. It's tough, right? Because you don't necessarily want to, like, propagate the reign of the reigning champ. Like,
it's true.
You want in your heart of hearts to be able to vote for something that will eliminate the champ so that you can kind of disrupt the status quo, right? Like, that's fun. That's the more fun narrative. But
And it seems that the reigning champ is a reigning champ for a reason.
Well, that's exactly it, right? And it's like, there are contenders in this tournament who can knock out Brad. I just don't think hot sauce is going to be the one to do it.
That's for sure. I mean, I think that charcuterie could be a top dog. So,
sure.
You know, that's it.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, down the line, it's entirely possible these two could face off against each other later in the tournament. I will say, if Brad wins this one, it'll first be going up against Berries, which would be a repeat of last year's semifinal. So that's a tough one. I know how it shook out last year, obviously. So we'll see if they do go against each other again this year. We'll see if it's a repeat of last year or if Berries makes its way to the semis this time around. Who knows? What's your bread of choice? You know, if you had to pick like a peak bread experience for you, what would be your top bread?
I am, and I'm not going to do the, you know, the quintessential, you know, white girl answer of sourdough bread. I'm really a focaccia kind of person.
Okay.
One, because it's one of the few breads that I know how to make, and it's very easy to make. And two, because you can zhuzh up a focaccia in so many different ways. You can make it an entire meal by, you know, throwing in some, you know, chunks of meat, or, you know, throwing some cheese in there and herbing it up, or you can have it just plain and it tastes really good because it is soaked in butter.
Right. Butter for you. Okay. I'm an olive oil purist when it comes to focaccia, but to each their own.
Okay. I mean, yeah, olive oil, it could be okay, but I don't have much of a palate for olive oil. I'll be honest.
Fair enough.
You know, people throw it like a balsamic dip or something with focaccia bread, and I'm kind of like, I'd like a nice, you know, nice butter, you know, even if it's like an herb butter or garlic butter or something like that would be my preference.
Listen, there's no wrong way to eat bread. That's
for sure.
I might have to do a little experimenting and see about that myself, because I don't think I've ever had focaccia with butter. I think it's always been, you know, soaked in olive oil, and then you know, you rip pieces of it off and you eat it, and you know, put it with your charcuterie board. Frankly, I mean, that's a winning combo in my books.
Well, and it's exactly there is no wrong way to eat bread. Although I will say, many years ago when the grocery store that shall not be named, because they price gouge everybody now,
isn't that all
was
of them?
Putting out yeah, that's true. They were putting out all those weird flavors of, like, they had like chocolate chip cookie soda and things. They put out a peanut butter and jelly flavored ice cream.
Okay.
And it wasn't just peanut butter and jelly. They actually used the bread flavor in the ice cream.
Interesting.
And it is yeah, that's one way to describe it. I would say that's the only time that I would definitively say that was a wrong way to experience bread.
Sure. I feel like that's kind of how I feel about, like, beer and, like, bread soda. Like, I don't know if you've ever had bread soda. It's I think it's an Israeli thing originally, but it functionally, like, it just kind of tastes like a sweeter non-alcoholic beer, right? And I can't do it. I can't stand. And maybe it's because I don't like beer to begin with. So, like, after having had a lot of beer I didn't like in my, like, pre-sober days, then trying a bread soda, I was like, this is just worse beer somehow.
And bread is not supposed to be wet. Like, that's the thing for me, that, like, the flavor and the texture are very specific categories in my mind. And breads, like, no one wants to eat wet bread.
You don't want a wet bread?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. See, I think the only times when I'm good with a wet bread is if it's, like, soaked in oil, as previously established, or, like, you know, sometimes you get, like, a dip with your sandwich. I think that's an acceptable bread wetness.
Well, Absolutely. And that's I guess I would say that in a different category, because you're sure. Right. Like, I'm a big fan of like a beef dip or something like that. But like I'm thinking more like bread in liquid form.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
beyond like moist or like, you know, absorbed in a beautiful sauce. Like it is liquid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's an important distinction, wrong. I guess, between like a dampened bread and a liquid bread. Because, yeah, liquid bread is wrong. Liquid bread is a yeah. mistake and a crime.
That's it. That is the only wrong way to eat bread.
To drink it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay, so for you, between bread and charcuterie, what's your winner, you know? If you had to pick one of these to be our champ this year, do you want a triple win for bread, or do you want to see charcuterie be the champ?
Well, here's the thing: is bread is part of charcuterie,
sure,
right? Like, to me, you can't have a good charcuterie board without bread. So they really go hand in hand. So if I had to pick one, I'd say charcuterie, because it's bread plus so many other wonderful things.
Okay,
I could see charcuterie winning out because it is such a artistic and flexible dish to have.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. It's funny because I've heard arguments along that line before that end up with the opposite result, right? Where people are like, well, you know, like, you can't have a charcuterie board without bread, so it's got to be bread. And I think it's tough because, yeah, that argument can go either way, right? Where you're like, this is so essential to this thing that it trumps it. But I think I like where you're going with this, where it's like, you can put everything on the charcuterie board, and therefore it is like peak food experience.
That is it. It's almost like an unfair, you know, entry into the contest, because like it can be whatever you want to be. Like, you can be the charcuterie you want to see in the world.
Barack Obama said that, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It might have been Michelle. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Zach, thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning to call in, help us make these decisions. We'll know the results soon enough when we talk to our second guest later this afternoon. But in the meantime, do you want to tell people listening at home where they can find you, where they can find your music, what you want them to check out, and where you can be found on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Zach Ingles, spelled phonetically Zack Ingles. And you can find me just about anywhere these days, from all the social medias. I even have a TikTok that I post funny things on, or at least I think they're funny. And I just had a new song come out. You can find me on Spotify and Apple Music and all the places you like to listen to music. So a nice little Google search, or search in whatever platform you like, you will find me. And I hope you enjoy listening to some of my music.
Awesome. I love a simple plug, like, just Google my name, I'm easy to find. Because I feel that as someone who has got a really unique name, I'm just like, you know, you want to find me? Go ahead.
You are very Googleable.
It's like, if you look me up, the only way you're going to find people who aren't me is if you find my grandfather or like a distant relative who spells their last name a little differently, but comes up anyway because of how Google works. That's, you know,
that's it. You have to try to go down that rabbit hole.
I highly recommend you guys go check out Zach's music, start streaming him on Spotify. Where do you make the most money from people listening to you? What's the link that I should put in the description so that people can click it and make you rich?
There's like no money in streamed music anywhere. That, I mean, the thing that'll make me rich is if people buy my music on Bandcamp.
There we go.
But nobody does that. So I would say of the popular platforms, Apple Music pays slightly more than everywhere else. But as someone who has been on streaming services for the better part of 7 or 8 years now, I have had one payout in my life, and it was laughable.
I get that. I feel that on a deep and personal level. Folks, go buy Zach's music on Bandcamp. Support musicians in an actual concrete way where you give them money. And also do the streaming thing, because the streaming thing helps for visibility, but also visibility Absolutely. Is not food. So put some food in Zach's mouth. Awesome. Thank you, Zach. This was great.
Hey, no worries, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so Zach brought us a vote for charcuterie and a vote for bread. That means the reigning champ will, at the very least, have a chance to stick around through the tiebreaker, no matter how the second judge votes. It also means that your position in the host choice division is hanging on by a thread, because chocolate will now only advance if the other judge sends it to a tiebreaker that rules in its favor.
I have faith.
You have faith. Yeah, fair enough.
I have faith that other people have better taste than Zach.
Yeah. Ooh, shots fired. Shots fired. Zach
he shot first.
Zach is a nationally played musician here.
Zach shot first when he chose charcuterie. I'm only defending myself.
All right. All right. Okay. Dang. Well, no matter what happens today, it's going to be exciting. So we're going to find out what our second judge votes for in just a minute. But first, we're going to go to the mid-roll and find out how you can help us make this show great.
If you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to always vote in your favorite host's favor when you have a tiebreaker. It's me. I'm your favorite host. Also, hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss a new episode. While you're at it, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend. For every new rating and review we get during the month of February...
It's March!
For every new rating and review we get during the month of March, we'll be donating $2 to The Depot, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need, so by doing the simple free act of leaving a rating and review of this show, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. There's literally no other way to turn 0 into 6, so if that math is exciting for you, go do it. You can read all about what The Depot is doing at the link in the description of this episode.
Oh, baby, baby, I love your Patreon donations. Did you know that this show exists entirely thanks to donations from listeners like you? We don't have sponsors. If we did, you'd hear us talking about them. Mm-hmm. We don't have them. They don't exist. But what does exist is Patreon. Patreon is an ongoing crowdfunding platform that lets listeners like you work directly with creators like us to produce the best possible show at the lowest possible cost to the aforementioned creators, who are we. You can give us as little as $1 a month, and it goes a long, long way. Because let's face it, if there's like 80 people who decide to do that, that's $80 a month. If even one of those people gives $2, that's $81 or more per month.
It's true.
Quick math. So if you're interested in Patreon, you should do it. You should help us make the show even better. And of course, there's stuff in it for you as well. If you join our Patreon, you get access to our exclusive newsletter. Hard to say those words back to back. Exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord server where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family. We got a soup dropping on there any day now.
We do. Dropping soup.
We're going to pour soup all over Patreon. Get ready. It's going to be wet. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be an American summer.
Plus, our patrons are invited to participate as guest judges on this very series, Munch Madness. Do you want to be a guest judge on Munch Madness? Do you have opinions about these matchups and you want to sway the votes by opining them?
Do you want to vote for me? Because I know you want to vote for me because it was my birthday yesterday.
It's true. It was Teffer's birthday yesterday. So, you know.
Vote for chocolate.
Give Teffer a birthday present.
Yeah.
If you're not already a member, or if you are a member of our Patreon and you want to up your pledge, that's also an option. Head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod today and do the thing. All right, let's throw it to our second guest judge. So our second guest judge here on Munch Madness this week is the one, the only, Gregory Schultz. Greg is one of the co-hosts of Left Trigger, Right Trigger, the Video Game Book Club podcast, and plays Yellowine on the Once and Future Nerd. Greg, how are you today?
Tom, I am so excited to be back here once again for Munch Madness. It's a fabulous time of year. I look forward to it. I'm up to date as far as time of recording, so I already have thoughts and things have been revealed within myself from it. This is a moment of reflection and thought and madness for everyone. So
yeah,
should be very good.
Well, as the person who coined the name Munch Madness for this tournament back in 2020, I got to give you the credit where credit is due. And I got to say, I mean, it's nice to have you as a like permanent fixture of this thing, you know?
I'm happy to be here. I'm just as surprised as anyone else that I'm still kicking around. Keep going on with the podcasting at least. It's been a wild ride and I'm hoping to keep stay on it. The words, metaphors, you know?
Yeah.
Great.
Do you also have this, like, this is a dark, but here's where we're going. Do you also have this thing where every subsequent year that you're alive, you're kind of like, wow, it's a miracle I'm still here?
That it's less that and more at the 24-hour stream for LTRT that we do. for our anniversary, that's usually when I have that moment of self-reflection. Because sure. My birthday, I'm just like, I don't know, what's a number, huh?
Right.
But yeah, with that, I'm just like, wow, still going, huh? Where was I when this started? Whoa, okay, completely different, eh? All right, cool. And just have a moment of like, yeah, all right. Yeah, life shaping differently than I thought. And I can still get surprised by myself quite often. So yeah, there's good and bad in there, but you know, I'll take it. Yeah. Keeps things interesting.
Absolutely. Well, I think there's something like, there's something cool about having those landmarks that you hit them every year and you go, wow, I've been doing this for that long, huh? And knowing like, okay, this is something that's been consistent even in the chaos of all the other things that are kind of in flux in life, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's, it's really nice to have those times to reflect those annual traditions like Munch Madness.
Yeah. All right. So should we get into... As our vegan correspondent, I'm really curious to see how this first match goes for you. So let's dig into it. The first matchup today comes from our host's choice bracket, which means after this matchup, either myself or Teffer will be upset with you. We will take it personally, but no pressure. Vote with your heart. And the matchup is, of course, between the charcuterie board and chocolate.
Yes. So I've been doing some thinking on Munch Madness as a whole and how I approach the voting. Mm-hmm. I think I approach things differently than I would say most people do, if only because I've noticed that I basically always vote for things that lose. I think I've voted against bread twice. I took some time to think on that, and I think it really hammered home while you were talking to folks about potato and pickle. Mm-hmm. I think that I look at things more as an ingredient versus a full-fledged food. Sure. And I would rather have an ingredient most of the time. And I think part of this is that the thing I realized, and I talked to my partner about after listening to the first episode of Munch Madness, I was like, I think I enjoy the act of cooking more than I enjoy the act of eating now.
Okay, sure.
Which is not to say I don't enjoy eating. I do enjoy to eat. But I really enjoy cooking. So I tend to lean towards things that can be cooked or prepared into multiple different things versus a completed meal. Because I think for me, nothing is worse than like buying something I know I could make and then finding out that the thing I bought is just like really subpar.
Sure.
And just like, well, it's like worse than the version I would make.
Right.
And yeah. I that's not a high bar to pass, I'll be honest with you, for a lot of things. So because of that, I am going to go with chocolate.
Okay.
I know that's a vote against your pick, and I hope you will forgive me. But yes, I'm going for chocolate on this one.
All right. That's interesting because, yeah, as you were giving your reasoning for that, you know, as you were talking about things that you can prepare, right? Things that you can use as an ingredient, things that give you the opportunity to express your creative control. I thought you were going the opposite direction for a minute there. I thought you were going to say, because a charcuterie board, I can make however I want to, and it will always be exactly as good as I make it, as opposed to chocolate, where most of the time you are buying chocolate. But I guess it makes sense that you're making the chocolate, you're baking with the chocolate, presumably, right?
I'm like baking with the chocolate. I'm like putting it into chili or like kind of like Tex-Mex-y things.
Sure.
Putting it into like smoothies and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And also potentially just eating the chocolate. Though I'm not, that is one thing that I cannot and will not prepare is I'm not going to make my chocolate from scratch. That's a bit too far for me.
Sure.
Well past my ability, I would say. But as for a charcuterie board, I will also say that there are points against it because it's vegan. You don't, it doesn't have to be all this stuff. And there are plenty of vegan charcuterie boards out there. But the other thing is that last summer, I helped some friends put together a wedding, like their wedding and stuff. And part of that was making charcuterie cups.
Okay.
That were like you could have as you arrived. We made like over 100 I think like three got eaten. Oh, so no. I feel like a little burnt by charcuterie. So I'm just like, yeah. Okay. I've seen my fill.
You know what? Fair enough. I mean, like, yeah, obviously, like, I had a feeling that you, as the vegan correspondent, would not be, like, the most on board with charcuterie boards, just because, like, because there's just not that much you can really do for a vegan charcuterie board while keeping it feeling like a charcuterie board, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. Sense. It's, like, the essence of the charcuterie, I feel like, comes from the meat and cheese, and then you have the extra things on the side. Well, you could just do a whole thing of extra things on the side, and I love pickles and fruit. Sure. But it's not charcuterie then. It's pickles and fruit.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's it. And it's interesting, like, because I think about it sometimes from the, like, I had a really obnoxious customer once when I was working at the deli counter at the butcher shop, who really adamantly told me that the difference is charcuterie board is just meat, and if there's cheese on it, it becomes an antipasto board. And I said, I really don't care about this distinction right now. I'm not being paid enough money to care. And but I think about that sometimes, right? And it's like, okay, yeah, with an antipasto board, it really is beyond meat and cheese. You can put all kinds of different stuff on there. And so I was intentional when I said charcuterie board for this, because I did really mean like meat and cheese as the base and going from there. And I think,
yeah,
I mean, like, you know, you could make a board that's got like a bunch of grilled vegetables and nuts and chocolate and things like that on there, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah. And there are different, like, you know, you can do some vegan cheeses, and you can get those like vegan hard and soft cheeses. You can do, I saw something that was like for vegan, like crudo recently.
Interesting.
That seemed kind of wild. It's like you make hard vegan mayonnaise,
okay,
basically, and then marinate it in herbs, and then it's like, yeah, this is basically crudo. I don't know if that's true, but this is a Spaniard or Italian on Instagram that I randomly showed up in my feed, and I was like, oh, okay, huh.
I feel like if you make a vegan charcuterie board, it gets dangerously close to a salad really fast, is probably the like at what point does a vegan charcuterie board just become a salad, right? Even if you're just, you know, I'm thinking about how do you make something that kind of resembles salami, and it's, oh, you know, you get a mandolin and you cut some like thin slices of radish, and it's like, okay, like, yeah. There's that, and yeah, there's, you know, carrots, and you can put a bed of lettuce down underneath it as a kind of way to decorate, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm just very quickly turning this into a salad.
It's really like a vegan charcuterie board is, I feel like, the main reason, other than for the food, if you're making one, it's mostly because you have a nice board that you want to use. Like, the board is the most important part. They're like, cool. Anyway, I'm going to steal some olives, maybe some of these cool radishes, and some cornichon pickles, please. Yep. Great. Thank you.
That's it. It's like, I want to eat a salad today, but instead of mixing it in a bowl, I want to lay out the ingredients on a plate and look at them first.
Which is, what salad? Is it chef's salad in, I don't know. I think it's chef's salad. In like the US or whatever, where you'd have it, it's kind of similar, where you have like pieces of meat, pieces of cheese, like all the ingredients are like separated into their own bespoke sections on top of lettuce with like a hard boiled egg as well. And that always seemed so strange to me, because I would be like, why isn't my a non like tossed salad doesn't make sense to me?
Well, that's it.
So
coming away from, you know, the failures of a vegan charcuterie board and into the successes of chocolate, what's your optimal chocolate?
I love a chocolate chip in a cookie, or a dipped in chocolate, mostly anything. You know, throw it on a double boiler, get all melty, and then either drizzle it on or dip. I used to make what are referred to a recipe my mom got for holiday balls, which my friends later just called Greg's balls.
Naturally.
Which is three ingredients of double stuff Oreos, cream cheese, and Andy's mints.
Okay.
And they're It's basically a like cookies and cream ball that's dipped in mint chocolate, and that's great. I don't eat a lot of just like straight up chocolate. That's or like chocolate bars,
because sure.
they're kind of harder to find. And even before I was vegan, I wasn't eating them as much. But I like a little sweet treat, and I don't have the biggest sweet tooth, but the kind of savoriness that you can find in some chocolates mm-hmm. usually, or this the things that pair really well with chocolate, the savory stuff, like adding some nuts or I actually really like chocolate covered like blueberries or like what's the like raisinettes or whatever, sure. like chocolate covered raisins and stuff, like like dried fruit covered in chocolate, fantastic, love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I don't have like a go-to necessarily, but like I like a little chocolate treat. And usually it sates me way faster than anything else would. Because it's like, this is like rich and that's a good chocolate bite. I'm feeling good there. So I tend to not go wild, which is also something like in eat just like the whole thing, unless it's ice cream, which I know is also in the competition, because I put set Ben and Jerry's in front of me and it's probably going to go unless sure. I have anyone watching. And then like I'll probably stop and then go eat the rest later or save it for another night, because I love a good pint of Ben and Jerry's with some chocolate swirl in it or what have you.
Like, so. I love the idea of, like, I am also a big fan of just, like, digging into a pint of Ben and Jerry's. I have not been secret about this. This is something I do most nights. But I just had this idea in my brain, this visual of, like, you know, a bunch of guys hanging out at the office, and one of them turns to the others and says, "Hey, you guys want to grab a pint after work?" And they're all like, "Yeah, great." And they head down to the gas station and buy a bunch of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. I show up with my oat milk cherry Garcia. It's like, yeah, this is going to be pretty great, man.
Okay, important. Between chocolate and ice cream, what's your pick?
You know, I was thinking about this a little bit. That's tough. And like, given all that I said before about like, yeah, like an ingredient and like a prepared thing, blah, blah, blah. I think the ice cream is just so... Ice cream is so.
Yeah.
That's really tough because I think most ice creams that I enjoy have chocolate in them. And I am hard pressed to think of ones, especially now that I'm vegan, if there are ones that have that don't have chocolate that I enjoy as much as all the others, but it would be extremely close. I would have to hem and haw for quite some time.
Sure, sure. Well, the good news is you don't have to make that choice because you're not voting on that matchup. A matchup you are voting on, however.
Yes.
is in our champions bracket. Now, Greg, I've given you the incredibly difficult task today of choosing between last year's champion, Bread, who, by all accounts, you have voted against twice in the past, and last year's fourth seed, who lost to last year's runner-up, Pasta, in the semifinals, Hot Sauce. So, Bread, Hot Sauce, where are we at?
We're going Hot Sauce, and now here's why. I have
third time's the charm.
Third time's the charm. We're gonna get that bastard one of these days. Everything I said before about like, oh, as a cook, blah blah blah, and as an ingredient, whatever, throw it out the window. Here's sure. the deal. I've been hard pressing potato rice 2024 for quite a while, and if we're gonna do that, we got to take Bread out of the equation. And if Bread is going to stay in this competition, I think it needs to go to the people to vote. I think it's got to be a social media vote. And so I'm assuming that the other person voted for Bread, and I'm going to vote for Hot Sauce, and I'll send it to the people to make the decision. But potato rice 2024 still holding strong. We got it this year.
You know, honestly, fair enough, and good on you for voting from a place of conviction on this one.
I know I'm not supposed to campaign at the polling place.
Sure you are.
But
who says?
I don't know. A bunch of like local things. Whatever.
Listen, it's not a real democracy if there aren't some people campaigning at the last minute to try and convince people to change their votes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so chocolate and hot sauce. I can tell you now, Our other guest judge voted exactly opposite you. So we have a
great
double tie, which is fun because we haven't had that yet. So
I feel like that also happens every time I vote.
Oh man, so we'll see how that goes. Do you have a prediction in terms of like overall winner of the tournament this year?
I don't know. Y'all have been talking about it being a very stacked year, and I have to heartily agree. I'm excited about most things on this tournament. I'm really excited for, like, I'm hoping Curry goes far. I'd love a good Curry.
I got some bad news for you.
I'm also huh? Oh no. Oh no. I gotta listen to the, oh no, my feed. Update my feed. Salt is probably the one thing I'm like less the, I know I said all the, well, like, ingredient, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Salt is, I get it. Salt is like flavor enhancer. And you know, potato and rice both get great with salt, but it's kind of getting me. Salt is almost Mountain Dew for me, where it's like not quite food in the way that I would think of food. I think of it as a spice. Mm-hmm. Not to say that spices aren't food. I just voted for hot sauce, for goodness sake. But it doesn't quite hit the thing. Like, I know I have a salt tooth, and it's almost a bad thing. And maybe that's probably. My family grew up, my dad has high blood pressure, so we tried to avoid salt, so there's a certain amount of me like trying to avoid it. Mm-hmm. But dang, salt beat Curry. I mean, I get it, but also this is a live reaction we're just having on episode.
Do you want to know who pulled the trigger on that?
Giovanni Colantonio.
It was
David Flam. Yeah, it would be David Flam, huh?
Yep.
That man lives on tortilla chips.
Hey, how do you feel knowing that potato and rice cannot be the finalists together?
I realized that when I was looking at the brackets, that, wait, these guys can't. Can whoever, if one wins, can the other one be vice president? Is that how this works?
I'll allow it. I don't.
Whoever wins Munch Madness potato or rice wins Munch Madness, the other one legally becomes vice president of the United States.
There has now been precedent for people from Montreal being the president of the United States. So I think by that logic, we, as the host of this podcast, I can decide that this is acceptable. Man, it'd be wild if I got Kamala Harris as a guest on this podcast, huh?
Depending on how the campaign is going, you probably could.
A moment of your time, please. Mountain Dew or rice? Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in today to cast your votes for chocolate and hot sauce. I'm excited to see how this shakes out. I'm excited to see, you know, where this leaves us going into the quarterfinals, because it's going to be stacked no matter what. It's going to be a crazy, crazy time.
Yeah, it's a really good year. I'm really excited for it.
Pasta just lost to berries. Like, it's going to be nuts.
Oh, damn. Okay. What if hot sauce goes all the way? What if it's hot sauce versus Mountain Dew?
I'm really, really hoping. Like, I'm not going to try to, you know, push the judges to vote this way, but I'm really hoping Mountain Dew makes it. Even though that would mean potato and rice both get eliminated. That's what it would take for Mountain Dew to get to the semifinals. But I'm kind of okay with it if it happens, you know?
Yeah, I don't love it, but, you know, you gotta root for the people who... No, that's bad. I was going to... Did you ever play that like team building game where like you do rock, paper, scissors with like a lot of people, and then whoever beats you, you become the hype person for them. And if anyone beats them, you become that. I was about to make that allegory, but with voting, but that is not the case. You know, if potato and rice can't win, then I will try to burn it down by pushing Mountain Dew.
I think that's fair. I, you know, the three of them being the remaining contenders from the People's Choice category, we got to listen to the people, right?
Got to listen to the people.
The people want Mountain Dew, potatoes, and rice.
In one big pot mixed together.
Listen.
That's quite the stew.
On that note, Greg, do you have anything you want to plug?
Potato and rice, 2024. We got this. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Where can you be found?
on Discord. You should join the No Bad Food Discord where I'm hanging out, and you can find me there. I don't really use social media anymore. So other than I have Instagram, but I rarely post, and then I usually just log in so I can vote in tiebreaker matches.
Yeah.
That's fair. It. That's, I don't know. Listen to Left Trigger, Right Trigger? Well.
Fair enough. Greg, thank you once again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there we have it, folks. Greg has taste and Zach does not. That means we've got not one, but two tied votes. I'm sorry, that was mean. Greg and Zach voted oppositely. Zach doesn't love me enough. That means we've got not one, but two tied votes. And it's up to you to decide.
You should head over to our Instagram page at No Bad Food Pod and vote for your favorite. The winner is going to be announced at the start of next week's episode, so make sure to hit subscribe if you haven't already. Otherwise, you might not find out the results of these two intense matchups.
And listen, like, we're voting in Instagram comments right now. You can get in fights.
Yeah.
You can get in fights. You can argue this. Like, you can vote, but you can also respond to somebody's vote and be like, why would you vote that way?
It's true. If you like need some low stakes confrontation in your life, which listen, a lot of us do, right?
If you miss fighting on Facebook, here's your chance.
If you like find yourself in line at the grocery store just wishing someone in front of you would start being mean to a cashier so that you have a chance to tell someone to fuck off today, how about instead you just go on our Instagram page and tell someone who voted a way you don't agree with to fuck off? Because you can't do that in real elections most of the time. You don't get to see how people vote.
Have you never seen social media discourse around an election?
Yeah, but you don't get to like watch them vote.
That's true.
You don't like the way real elections work.
You don't get to harass people for voting.
I know. I think
with our situation,
here's a hot take. I think democracy would be better if we were allowed to like criticize people's votes as they were voting. I'm serious. I really do.
Set up voter booth heckling.
I think voter booth heckling. Look, for real, this is a soapbox I'm getting on. I actually think there's some validity to this idea because it would stop all the people who are just kind of like lukewarm voting from lukewarm voting. Mm-hmm. They would have to actually take a stand and vote for stuff they believe in if there were people being fucking irritating around them about it the entire time. Right?
I mean, or there would be more peer pressure, which I think is why voting is anonymous now.
Well, not here it is. So let's peer pressure you into voting for
chocolate,
charcuterie, anything but bread, folks. Anything but bread. Please end its reign of terror. We can't have a triple win. We can't. We can't have a three-time champ. I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Instagram.com/nobadfoodpod to vote. Hey, you know what? It's been real. It's been fun having you guys
we're
around this week. We're getting the hell out of here. We got stuff to do. There's science projects to be done. Oh, there's God. This episode that needs to be edited because I'm releasing it in like 3 hours. We got a lot of stuff to do today, folks. And I'm sure you do, too. So thank you so much for taking part of your day to listen to No Bad Food. Do you want to be part of the conversation? Do you want to vote and exercise your right as a democratic participant? Hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Teffer Bear and at Tom Zalatni. I tried.
I thought we already established that this is an oligarchy.
Maybe it is.
And you can become the ruling class by casting your vote on Instagram.
How about you become the ruling class by casting your vote with your dollars at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod. For as little as a dollar a month, you'd be joining the ranks of the bourgeoisie. Find folks like Chantal H., Gab, Thomas, Erica, Andrew, Chantal T., David, Mallory, Sarah, Carol Ann, Rachel, Aslam, and Anne. Shout out to Rachel, who was in Montreal this weekend for her wedding anniversary.
Aw, happy anniversary, Rachel.
Hit us up for bagel recommendations, and I said go to St. Viateur, they're the best, but also go to Fairmount because they're close by there and also very good. I'm starting fights right here in the outro. This is how we do it. Patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request apics for episodes of the show. Our patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request topics for episodes of the show. If that's exciting for you, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make
it
happen.
When did you start coming from Minnesota?
Oh no. We also have merch, and you can hit the merch link in the description to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at the Pod Cavern merch store. And of course, you can support us for free by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice and by sharing this episode with a friend.
I think just like irritating the heck out of our audience when we're asking them for money is like a really great marketing technique.
Give me money. That's give your podcast, give me money.
Keep listening to our podcast and I'll make the most annoying voice you can possibly imagine.
Give your podcast, give me money.
Our theme music is by Zach and our cover art is by Dave.
Our theme music is by Zach. Yes, that's Zach Ingles.
And our cover art is by David, Greg's left trigger, right trigger co-host, Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this episode. And last but not least, the show was produced by Tom Zalatni and Deborah Ajemian and edited by some guy as part of the Podcavern Network.
It's me.
You can find Tom Zalatni. Tom, some guy Zalatni.
I like to think of it as like Babe, some pig, you know?
Yeah. Tom Zalatni, some guy.
Which one is some pig? Is that Babe or Wilbur or Peppa?
It's Wilbur.
Fuck.
Babe is a pig in the city. Wilbur is the spider's friend.
The two genders.
You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com.
All right, folks, we'll see you next week. And in the meantime, remember, there's no such thing as bad food. You understand. It just takes a little time. No Bad Food is a proud member of the Podcavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Report. Set collection. Discrepancy straight-lined. Moth said. Meet Moth. Moth travels everywhere and everywhen in search of often deadly discrepancies and tries to make sense of the briefs she gets from collection.
There were holes in the brief, you know. I don't like that.
The Moth Collection Podcast. It's science fiction with a little bit of horror. It's weird and funny and romantic, and there won't be another season. 14 episodes, and that's it, people. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Presented by Podcavern.
5 years, 4 seasons, 2 miniseries. It all comes together in the epic finale of Moonbase Theta Out.
Hello again, Moonbaseans.
It's just too much to keep under control here.
Our position is on the moon. We are in possession of the moon bases. That is where we intend to remain, and despite you.
I was trying to fix things.
Get your fists up, Michelle. We're going to end this one way or another.
There is nowhere on the moon that you can hide. We will be visiting your position soon.
This message is for Dr. Ashrini Ray and Roger Brigado Fisher. Your messages have been received, and we recognize your struggle.
Let's move.
Live on us thin.
Live Bukawame.
We could message everyone, everywhere.
What did I miss?
Sorry, love, it's a busy day at the end of the moon.
We've been through the end of so many things, but we're still here.
Moonbase Theta Out, the series finale, August 20th and September 3rd, 2023.